Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
First Kings chapter 19 and verse 1, it says this, "Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elisha had done and how he had killed all the prophets of Baal with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, 'So may the gods do to me even more if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them.' And Elijah was afraid and arose and ran for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servants there. But he himself traveled a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and sat down under a juniper tree and asked God that he might die. He said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's.'" O Lord, I pray today for the dads in the room. I pray for everybody in the room. I pray for these Americans. I pray for these Holy Ghost-filled people of God. And I pray to Lord today that you minister to us. You show us great and mighty things. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Lord, thank you for your word that guides us, that directs us, that leads us. Oh, that gives us encouragement every day. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord lives on forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, look to the person next to you and say, "Happy Father's Day." Some of you guys are catching on to this. Look to your to the other person next to you and say, "I'm sorry. Once again, you're my second choice." Praise the Lord. Well, happy Father's Day, everybody. Hey, there's no place I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord today. Amen. You know what, dads, what you can do, a best example for you to be to your children is get them in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful to be a dad. I'm thankful for my dad. And I'm also thankful for this dad on the front row. Come on, let's give honor to Pastor Ty Jones. We love you. I love you. Thank God for you. I love spending time with him. Amen. He's a man of God. We love you. We love you. Praise the Lord. Not to rub it in, but I get to spend time with him all the time. So nanny, nanny, boo-boo to all y'all. All right? How we can honor him? Hey, I want to tell you, if you're not signed up for camp meeting, please, there's lots of people that have signed up. But, hey, this I believe that this year, come on, we need a shakening in the earth. There's already a shakening going on, but there needs to be a shakening amongst believers. There needs to be faith built. We miracles, signs, and wonders. And I want to encourage you, if you ain't got your room already reserved in New Mexico, we need a you need to do that because they're still at 25%. We pray that that opens back up. But if you don't have your room, go ahead and get that. Get signed up back at the Connection Center today. All right, praise the Lord. We're talking about being sold out. Carmen used to say, sold out the whole route, completely born again. And the first week, we looked at the life of Hannah. And Hannah was a lady who was sold out. Even though her husband said, "You know what, you can settle for me," she said, "I'm not settling for you. I believe there is a Samuel on the inside of me. And so I'm going to go to a place of Shiloh. I'm going to believe God, and whatever he gives me, I'm going to give it back to him." And if you're going to be a person who's sold out to the Lord, you need to be a person that doesn't settle. You need to have a place called Shiloh where you rest, where you relax, where you get before the presence of the Lord. I'm telling you, Shiloh was here Friday night. We prayed fire from heaven down. And I'm telling you, it rained Friday. Did it not rain Friday? It's because we prayed. You can thank us later, all right? But you need a place of Shiloh. And when you get that, a person who's sold out, doesn't settle, has a place of Shiloh, but also they're a person that gives it all back to the Lord. And last week we saw in the life of Joshua when they were crossing the Jordan, He told his people this: sanctify yourselves today, for tomorrow I will do wonders. You know why you pray today is for tomorrow. Come on. The reason you read the Word of God today, it's for your tomorrow. It's not your yesterday. But He is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. How many of y'all believe that? But I'm telling you, people good in business, people good human beings today, are people that have learned the concept, the things that you do today are for your tomorrow. You know, there may be at a moment of weakness, at a moment of laziness. I'm telling you, I'm going to be consistent in the Word of God. I'm going to be consistent to pray. I'm going to be consistent to go to a place of Shiloh, because I've learned this: if I'm sold out today, it's for my tomorrow. Can I get an amen? Also, too, we saw in that text, be sold out in His presence. If you're going to be somebody who's sold out for the Lord, you got to learn to get in His presence. And number three, if you're going to be sold out, you need to be sold out before you see change. Before you see change. Come on, keep pressing for that young man or that young daughter that's coming back to the Lord. They may still look like they're rebellious, but you know what? We walk by faith and not by amen. Come on, let's be people of faith in here. But in this text, I want to look at this text of this great man of God by the name of Elijah. And I just read what happened was this woman Jezebel threatens him. Oh, she was a witchy woman. She was a witchy woman. How many of y'all can testify for a witchy woman in your life? Don't raise your hand. I'm kidding. Don't do that. It may be Dad's Day, but you might still die from raising your hand from that. But anyways, this woman Jezebel says, you know what, I'm going to make an example out of you. And he gets scared and he runs under the juniper tree. Now, if you just read this text here, you can see, okay, she's a crazy woman. He's running for his life. But if you read all the context beforehand, you see that Elijah comes on the scene in 1 Kings chapter 16, and he predicts a drought, and a drought happens. And he's at this woman's home, and her son begins to die, and he lays out over the son, and he comes back to life. So that's two miracles. He's already see what happens. And then in chapter 17, he goes before the governor. It says in verse 1, in 1 Kings 17, 1, he says, now Elijah the Tishbite, who was at the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, that there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. And it happens. And then in the next text, in 1 Kings chapter 18, he goes before Obadiah. And Obadiah is like the governor of the king. And he tells him, and this governor, he knows what the Lord has done in Israel, and he has hidden prophets and good men. And Elijah says, I'm not afraid of Ahab, and I want you to set up a meeting for me to meet with him. And he says, if you set up a meeting with my king, I'm telling you, you will die. He said, no, set it up. And so the Bible says he meets with Ahab there, and he said, you call on your 400 prophets of Baal and your 400 prophets of Asherah, and meet me at Mount Carmel. So Ahab the king, he tells the people of Israel, we're going on a showdown. Come on, this is like the OK Corral. We're going to meet there in the middle of a drought. And what they do is that king of Ahab, he gets his 400 prophets of Baal. Elijah comes with some great men of God. He's surrounded by some great men of God. And they come together, and each person gets an ox. Now, I want to encourage you to go read this text. But each person gets an ox. And so the prophets of Baal, they begin to dance and do whatever they know to do to call down fire down from their from their so-called god Baal. And nothing begins to happen. I mean, they begin to chop each other up. They begin to do whatever they know to do, and nothing happens. And Elijah's in the corner kind of mocking them, like, hey, where's your God at? He must be on Instagram right now. He's not paying any attention of what's going on in your life. So then it comes Elijah's turn. And Elijah, he rebuilds the altar of what they have torn down. The people of Israel have torn down. And he rebuilds this altar. And he tells the men, I want you to dig a ditch around this altar. And I want you to cut this bull up in pieces. Put wood on it, and then I want you to go get a bucket of water. So they go get a bucket of water, and they pour it on there. Then they get another bucket of water. In the middle of a drought. Come on, how many of y'all know, even in the middle of a drought, you need to keep giving? Come on. How many of y'all believe God he will show up in the midnight hour? Give and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together. It may look crazy. It may look stupid in the middle of a shutdown economy, but I'm telling you, how many of you can raise your hand and said, I kept giving in the middle of a shutdown, and God has provided all my needs? Look at all these testimonies all over the room. I'll raise both hands, my feet, everything. And so anyways, they begin to pour a bucket of water on there. It soaks the wood. It goes into the ditches around it. And then he said, bring on another one. They bring on another one. They bring on another one. Now the ditch is full. The wood is completely soaked, the animal soaked, and he calls down fire from heaven. You know what we're doing as believers? We're calling down fire from heaven. Come on, to consume the people of God, to consume Seattle, Washington, to consume Trenton, New Jersey, to consume New York City. They needed to be saved before this, but now they really need it. Come on. I'm saying this over in the New York area. But calling down fire, he calls down fire from heaven and it dries up the water. It dries up everything. God showed up. Then the Spirit of God comes on him and he kills all the prophets of Baal. I mean, the hand of the Lord is on this joker. It hadn't rained in 3 years. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 18, verse 41, now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of an abundance of rain. And you know the story. He has the servant. He says, go look again. Oh no, go look again. You know, right now, when you watch the news, I encourage you to turn the news off and you come in here and you look again. Come on, let's look again. I don't know about you, I'm not gonna look at that. I'm gonna magnify the Lord. So I'm gonna do this. I know everybody else in the world's going crazy, but I believe the Lord is on my side. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Come on, where's the people of God? Magnify the Lord with me. And it begins to rain. And then we come to verse 45. In a little while, the sky grew dark with clouds and wind, and there were heavy showers. And Ahab mounted and rode his chariot and went inland to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, giving him supernatural strength, and he just felt like running. I see scripture different all the time. So he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel, nearly 20 miles. So I want you to see this. You see that the hand of the Lord is definitely upon this man? The hand of God is definitely upon the prophet Elijah. Then we come to 1 Kings. And in this, as I begin to talk this morning, I just want to give you 4 points that I see from the next text here in 1 Kings chapter 19 of things you don't do if you're going to be sold out. And the first one is this: don't forget. Don't forget. Come on, write that down. Don't forget. It says in verse 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more by this time tomorrow that I do not make your life like one of them. And Elijah was afraid. He hadn't been afraid yet. But now he's afraid and arose and ran for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. You know, I'm going to tell you, there's a part of me that can relate to this, because there's times where I feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and I feel like such a man, there ain't no man that's going to get me down, but there is someone that I am afraid of from time to time. She's sitting on the front row here. You know those moments? How many men, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You come home, you're like this, and you will cower down to a good woman, but this ain't a good woman. This is a crazy woman. Isn't it crazy how easy we forget sometimes what God's done in our life? Isn't it easy how we forget that he saved our body? Come on, how many of y'all is thankful for salvation today, that he took a crooked scoundrel like lying, cheating, old, dead, beaten, two-timing? Come on, And he said, I'm taking your sin and I'm removing it as far as the east is from the west. I believe we ought to shout this morning that God is good and his mercy endures forever. We forget that he's healed our body. We forget that he supplied us in the middle of a famine. We forget sometimes. The Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 7, it says that they should place their confidence in God and not forget the works of God. Can I encourage you this morning, if you're going to be somebody who sold out the whole route, don't forget the good works of the Lord. Me and pastors talked about this. I've seen people that have been healed of cancer that they're running today from the Lord because of an offense. I've seen people that God made a way and wiped their debt away, but then in just a couple of months, they're running because of something somebody said or they got offended at some particular thing. Can I remind you of Psalm 103 and verse 1? It says, King David's song of praise, with my whole heart, with my whole life, and with my innermost being, I bow in wonder and love before you, the Holy God. Yahweh, you are my soul's celebration. How could I ever forget the miracles of kindness you've done for me? I'm going to say it again. This is a Passion Translation. How could I ever forget the miracles of kindness that you've done for me? You kissed my heart with forgiveness in spite of all I've done. You've healed me inside and out from every disease. Can I encourage you this morning? Be careful of the Jezebel voices in your life. Come on, let's curse the Jezebel voices in our life. I've said it once before, and I'll say it again. Through all of this mess, isn't it amazing? One phone call, you talk to them, oh, this is baloney. Oh, blah, blah, blah. The next phone call, we're all going to die. Oh, it's on me. It's everywhere. It's in the room. But I'm going to Walmart. I need to go to Walmart. Be careful of the Jezebel voices in your life. Come on, be careful of the CNN voice in your life. We're going to have an altar call if you are watching that afterwards anyway. But be careful of those voices. Don't let the voice of fear override the voice of faith in you. Don't let darkness, come on, we heard a great message Wednesday night. Don't let darkness override light. It just takes a little bit of light on the inside of you to override the darkness that the world tries to bring. Come on, don't let sorrow override joy, unspeakable and full of glory. When the devil, come on, I'll say it again. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Revelations, he's lost. He played for the Cowboys. I'm fed up with the NFL too, okay? All right. So number one, don't forget. Everybody say, don't forget. Come on, say, don't forget. If you're going to be people that sold out the whole route, don't forget every single day. You may have a kid that is testing your patience, but don't forget of how God gave you that kid. Amen? You may be in a rocky place in your marriage. You know what I do for new couples? When I do the vows between them, the last thing that I do, I say, look at each other. Just look at each other and don't forget this moment because Monday's coming. She ain't going to be wearing no makeup and her breath is going to smell like the night before. And the same way with him, he's going to fart. He's going to be a dude. But look, don't forget. How many of you couples? Come on. Don't forget. Don't forget. You're going to have hard moments. You're going to have hard moments, but don't forget. And as a believer, don't forget. Come on. Don't forget the joy you've experienced. Don't forget the great, great things that he's done in your life. Number two is this. If you're going to be sold out, don't compare. 1 Kings 19:4, it says, but he himself traveled a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree. And asked God that he might die. He said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. What's he doing? He's comparing. And we live in a world of comparison, do we not? I mean, I have a great friend. He's in Seattle, and he's like, hey, I want you to come over here and storm hell with a squirt gun. I said, what I want to do is what happened in True Grit with John Wayne. I want to go in on a horse, put the reins in my mouth, and have a old Henry in one hand and a six-shooter in the other. Come on! Get your life right with the Lord. I've said this before. I hope when the rapture happens, I hope I'm in a room full of politicians. And I'm going to grab three of them, bear hug them. And as we're going up, I'm going to say, you either get your life right with the Lord right now, or I'm dropping you. Amen? I don't know that that's how it's going to work. But anyways, but I compare myself, and I see my friend. It's like, all you do is preach, and you can just make your own schedule. I work. I mean, I'd love to. I can't just put things on hold and go, and there's a part of me that's super jealous that I can, you know, you can just go wherever you want to. But I'm not at a place that I can do that. We compare ourselves on Instagram and on Facebook. We compare lives. And can I tell you something, like in this text right here? It says, he himself traveled a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down on a juniper tree and asked God that he might die. Number one, when you compare, it will keep you running. And it will keep you spending money that you don't have. When you compare, it will keep you in a dark place. He went and got under the tree. And it will put you into a dark place. Comparison will keep you in a dark place. Another thing he asked, he said, God, I pray that I die. Comparison will kill. Comparison kills relationships. Comparison kills spiritual walks. When we continually put ourselves at the same level as somebody else, I'm telling you, that's looking through the eyes of man. God has called us to look through the eyes of heaven. You know, through man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. When you compare, there's one of two things that happens. Either I end up jealous, angry, and strangely forget of all the blessings while I focus on someone else's. Or I'm arrogant, proud, and stommishly thinking of how much better off I am than someone else. Can I tell you? There's no good that comes between the two. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, and if you've been in this church for any amount of time, you know it says we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things God has planned for us long ago. God has made you for a reason. He's made you a masterpiece. My mother used to tell me, God works in mysterious ways, and you are one of those ways. Amen? But we're all masterpieces. You know, there's people that I will reach that Renora will not. There's people that Renora will reach that I'll have a door won't be open for me. Same way with Jason. Same way with Rick. All of us in here, God created you for purpose and design. A masterpiece. Just like Picasso. When he painted a masterpiece, it was a masterpiece for a reason. I'm telling you, when he painted you, you're like, I'm not the same size as somebody else, or I'm not gifted in this area as them, but God has gifted you in other areas. Don't run. If you're going to be somebody who's sold out, don't compare, because it'd be hard for you to be sold out for the things of God if you're consistently comparing yourself to somebody else. And I love this text because an angel sustains him and sends him. An angel comes to him and he feeds him. He says, you may run. And what I love about this is God never gives up on Elijah. I'm going to tell you this morning, you may be at a place where you're in the wilderness, but God is not going to stop pursuing you. You may have stopped pursuing him, but I'm telling you this morning, can I give you a word of encouragement that God is still pursuing you? And an angel comes, he sustains him, and he sends him on his way for 40 days, a 40-day journey into Sinai. And then he comes to a cave, and God says, what are you doing here? He says, well, I'm upset with Israel. God says, well, I am too. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11, it says, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12, "And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" The third thing is this. Number one, don't forget. Don't compare. Number three, don't hide. You know what we try to do sometimes? We try to replace the wilderness with the cave. Let me give you an example. I was trying to think of many times, but believers, what they do is sometimes they replace the wilderness with the cave. Can I encourage you this morning? Be completely sold out. Don't give up one thing and bring on another. Just give it all to the Lord. I love it. There's a YouTube video. Me and Pastor Shannon joke back and forth about it all the time. But there's this man. He's from Alabama. And he talks just like this. He said, "I was at a place in my life where I was down in my luck. A mosquito wouldn't even bite me. I even almost got thrown out of my trailer, all because of one thing, freebasing cocaine." He says, "It was all my life. That was all that I ever did. That's all I ever knew. Until one time, I got put into this rehab program, and those people down there, they really helped me get off of freebasing cocaine." And then he goes, "Now I'll take a drink now. I will take a drink. And I may smoke a little marijuana. And I may, you know, when I drink a little too much, my girlfriend Sally, I might just beat her upside the head. But I tell you one thing I won't do, I won't freebase cocaine. I will not freebase cocaine. But you know what, I'll beat her up, and I may drink a little too much, and I may smoke a little bit." And then he goes on, the more that he talks, he says, "You know, if I get a little bored, sometimes I freebase cocaine. If I get to a place where..." And then at the very end, he's back doing the same thing that he was. And you know, just listening to him talks funny, but the first time I thought that, I thought, I've seen so many believers right there in the same boat. They replaced the wilderness with a cave. They say, "You know what, Pastor? I may be doing this today, but at least I'm not lying anymore. I'm not lying. Now, I may not tell the whole truth, but I don't lie no more. You know, I may just drink a little, but I don't get drunk, beat up on Sally no more. But can I tell you this? That little is going to lead back to beating up on Sally again. The wages of sin is death, no matter how hard you dice it." And you know, there may be times in your life where you are truly in a wilderness moment. But can I tell you, as your pastor and somebody who believes in you, don't trade the wilderness for a cave. Don't trade the wilderness for a cave. And lots of times we think to ourselves, well, if I just get under a dynamic message, just like this, he's in the cave and the wind blew. But the Bible says that God wasn't in the wind, that God wasn't in the fire, God wasn't in the earthquake. I'm not saying that God won't be in a great message. I'm not saying that God, you know, if I listen to the great preacher on YouTube, it'll fire me up, you know, for the next week. Or if I just, you know, listen to this song, you know, but I'm still, you know, I may cheat a little bit. But, you know, I do hear some dynamic YouTube messages. It's quiet in here, because I'm talking to half of y'all. I don't do the things that I used to. But I am further than I was. And we think to ourselves, the earthquake and the wind and the fire, none of it will replace the gentle voice of the Lord. None of it will. You know what got him out of the cave? The Bible says he didn't come out of the cave when the earthquake happened. He didn't come out of the cave when the wind happened. He didn't come out of the cave when the fire fell. He came out when he heard the gentle whisper of the Lord. You know how you hear the gentle whisper of the Lord? You get close to him. You get close to him. Come on. Don't give up the wilderness for the cave. Be completely sold out. I don't want to be at a place where he's shouting and I have to look past all these distractions in my life. I don't want to be at a place where he's yelling across the room and I got the news in front of me. I got COVID-19 in front of me. I got Seattle in front of me. I need to be right here next to him and say, God, what are you telling me about Seattle? God, what are you telling me about COVID-19? Am I helping you guys this morning? The only way he got out of the cave was when he heard the gentle voice of the Lord. Come on, we need to be still. We need to be silent with him, before him. Don't repay evil with evil. The Bible says in Revelation 3:15, it says, I know that in all things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You know what we need today more than ever in America is sold out believers for Jesus. Amen. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I'm not going to give up the wilderness for the cave. I'm going to be sold out the whole route. Number four is this, and that's a process. Can I tell you this? It is going to be a process, and there's mistakes that you're going to take. There's mistakes that you're going to make. But if you're still dealing with the same thing you were dealing with 5 years ago, come out of hiding. God wants to be on you, be in you, on you. Number four is this, don't conceal. Don't conceal. I preached, I believe it was around Easter, around that time. Don't conceal, reveal. It says in 1 Kings 19, after he hears the gentle voice of the Lord, John, you can go ahead and come. 1 Kings 19, verse 15, it says, then the Lord told him, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. What's he saying? Isn't this crazy? He's telling him to go back the way you came. And when you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel, to replace you as my prophet. I love this. Can I tell you this? Get this in your spirit today. Don't let the wilderness define you, but let it through you build up others. Come on, we've sang songs about this is my testimony. What God's done in your life, pour it into somebody else. He said, you know how you get this ball rolling back in you? You go in and anoint other men of God. You know how we're going to change America? Is dads, come on, let's rise up and impart things into our kids at the dinner table. This man of God, he anointed men that would change the country of Israel. Elisha. Oh, if you go on and read in 2 Kings, the Bible says that the mantle that was on Elijah, he asked for a double portion. Pour it into somebody else. I love it in the story of Elijah, that Elijah said, hey, I'm going down the road here. And he said, you might want to stay back. He said, no, I'm not leaving you. Can I encourage you men with this? Find a great man of God. Get in their pocket. Be encouraged by the word of God that's on the inside of them. Men of God that have them in their pocket, share the word of God with them. Don't conceal it. Don't hold everything that you know in. You know how we're going to change America? It's spread the good news of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, we look at the book of Acts as the church that's a model for you and I. You know what they did? They shared the word of the Lord. You know what you need to do at Walmart? You need to share the word of the Lord. People of Walmart need to hear the word of the Lord in their jammies. They need to hear the word of the Lord. At Target, they need to hear the word of the Lord. How many of y'all believe that? God has called you to be light in darkness. God's called you to be joy in the midst of sorrow. God's called you to be faith in the midst of fear today. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be somebody who sold out the whole route, don't conceal it. Pour it into somebody else. Pour it into your children. Pour it into other co-workers. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. Come on to be the lion and let him roar through you into somebody else. Amen. Come on, if we're going to be the people of God, we don't need to forget. Look to the person next to you and say, don't forget. Tell them, don't compare. Tell them, don't hide. Tell them, don't conceal. Pour it into somebody today. Let's stand to our feet. God, we thank you for the written word of the Lord. I pray today that this encouraged the body of Christ. I pray that this encouraged each and every one of us. If this word's for you today, I just want you to lift this out. Lift your hands up like this. God, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name. I pray for these that have their hands out to receive from you. I pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that they not forget the good works of the Lord on their life. That they not forget how you've healed their body. That they not forget salvation. That they not forget how you've saved their family, how you've been with them, how you've sustained them, how you've guided them and directed them. Lord, may they not forget at a place in their life of how, Lord, you shine so bright in them. It may have been at a place that seemed so long ago, different people in their life. But Lord, may they not forget today in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that we'd not be a people that don't compare. May we not compare on social media. May we not compare on our neighbors. May we not compare with people of importance in our life. But Lord, may we just draw close to you. Lord, I pray that we'd be a people that doesn't hide. Oh, we don't hide, Lord. Lord, I pray that we'd hear the voice of God, the still small voice of the Lord in Jesus' name. And may, Lord, these people that have their hands raised, may they pour it into others. Lord, give them opportunities. Give them opportunities, God, at jobs, gas stations. May we be the light in darkness. And Lord, we answer the call. We answer the call. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're in this room today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I can honestly say that I'm at a place where I'm running from the Lord. What's encouraging to me about this text is that God never stops pursuing Elijah. I'm telling you, you may be running, but he's running after you. He wants you. He desires you. He needs you. Or you may be at a place where you serve the Lord fervently and you saw the works of the Lord, but you are at a place where you've ran and you've hid under the juniper tree. Maybe you're at a place you've never known the Lord and you don't know him. Or you're a place that you're running. I'm telling you today, God loves you. God wants you. God desires you. God desires to have a relationship with you. And I'm telling you, in a time of such darkness and despair that's over this nation, now's not the time. Now's not a time to be running from the Lord. Now's a time to be an Elijah. Now's a time to be a voice in the wilderness. There's a time for peace. There's a time for war. There's a time to be silent. But there's a time to speak up. And I'm telling you, there's an anointing that will come over your life. He'll help you. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. You may be out there and you say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. You don't know the intents of my heart and my thoughts. Can I tell you this? The Bible says that the thoughts that God thinks towards us outnumber the sands on the earth. God's thinking about you. And if you're in here and you say, you know what, I'm away from the Lord, but today I want to make things right with Him. Or maybe you've never known the Lord before, but today I want to make things right. If I could do it for you, I would do it. But I can't. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that He died on the cross and on the third day rose again, He'd come live in your heart. So if that's you today, you're away, you're running, or you've never known Him, please pray this prayer with me. Saints have prayed it before. I want you to believe God with me all over the room. But say this, say, Jesus, I believe You died on the cross. You were buried in a tomb. But on the third day, You rose again. You ascended into heaven, and You're seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe because of Your actions, You forgave me of my sin and cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I confess my sins to You. From this day forward, I choose to live for You. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.